Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, I find it interesting when pop culture transforms a holy day into a holiday, it almost always manages to focus on the wrong side of the equation, doesn't it? For example, what is it do we hear so much that we'll begin to hear coming up very quickly? The number of shopping days left till Christmas. Now, that number is not as important as the 12-day period between the Christmas Day miracle in the season of Epiphany. A huge holiday, particularly down in the South, Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, is not as important as the 40 days of Lent that follow. Buying the perfect Easter ensemble is not as important as rejoicing over and over and over again a resurrection faith. Later this week, Wednesday night, the world is going to throw itself a spooky, kind of kooky All Hallows Eve party. And it has amazed me how in the past 10 years that this has taken on a life of its own. Never before in my life have I seen the decorations that are out in yards like they are now. It's kind of amazing to me. Halloween is not as important as a celebration that it actually fronts for. All Saints and All Souls Day. This time of the year is unlike any others in many respects. I mean, if you go in, I was in Kroger the other day this week, and it just amazed me how many shopping carts that I saw were filled with sorts of candies and costumes and the lawn decorations that were out for sale. And pretty soon, in many of your neighborhoods, children are going to disguise themselves as their favorite characters, and those who dress up as replacement refs are not that funny. But they will walk up and down and hit doors and go trick or treat and hold out plastic bags or hollow pumpkins to collect vast amounts of candy. When I was growing up, after Christmas, Halloween was indeed my favorite holiday. Candy. Today, it's not my favorite holiday, not because of what it is, but I can't eat the leftover candy anymore. But you know, for Christians, Halloween has in many ways become a little bit of a difficult holiday for us to deal with, hasn't it? For many of us, its darker side is a little disconcerting. Yet it holds some charm for us as we remember our own experiences when we were young and our excitement that we had during that day. But a myriad of questions kind of surround it. There are some churches who did not participate. Some denounce it. Some do not get into, and I'm sorry for the pun, but do not get into the spirit of the day. You know, when I first researched Halloween for this sermon, I found hundreds, literally hundreds of websites with articles and editorials that either condemned the observance of this holiday or enjoyed it. And there are many Christians who take a very strong stance on it. And it places many of us, I think, at times in an uncomfortable position. How do we respond? Is it sinful or is it just fun and games? Is it a problem or is it an opportunity? Do we ignore it? Should we attack it? Should we, as Christians, find ways to accommodate it? I think for us to really come to a good point with this, we need, and it might be helpful for us to look at Halloween from a variety of perspectives. First off, I want to start with a historical perspective of Halloween. First, we need to recognize that the American celebration of Halloween draws very heavily from the Scottish and Irish folk customs that can be directly traced to pre-Christian times and is actually indeed rooted in an old Celtic feast of Samhain. Now, although modern Halloween can be viewed as nights of rollicking fun and eerie games, its pagan beginnings maybe weren't quite that innocent. Originally, the celebration of Halloween, also known as the Witch's New Year, is rooted in the ancient pagan calendar, which divided the year into summer and winter by two festivals. Halloween was a part of the Celtic feast that was a celebration of the Druid priest commemorating the beginning of winter. Now, the Druids believed that on the eve of this festival, Samhain, who is the Lord of the Dead, called together those wicked souls that had died within the past 12 months and had been condemned to inhabit the body of animals. It was the night, they believed, on which the veil between the present world and the world beyond was pierced. So it released some of these spirits en masse to kind of harass the living. Interestingly, they thought that the cat was so sacred because cats, especially black cats, had once been human, had once been human beings whose spirits were transformed into a cat as a punishment for their evil. Which makes you wonder why that cat was sacred. I don't know, kind of a paradox to me. There was a prevailing belief among many nations that at death the souls of good people were taken by good souls and carried to paradise, but the souls of the wicked were left to wander the space between earth and the moon and inhabited the bodies of animals. And so the Druids believed that on this night, the eve of Samhain, those spirits returned to their original homes along with other ghosts and goblins. So in order to protect themselves, in order to make themselves immune, people at that time disguised themselves as witches and devils and ghouls, and hence our custom of wearing costumes on Halloween. They attempted to ward off evil spirits by carving scary and grotesque faces on various gourds, illuminating them with candles. So what do we do now? Pumpkins. In order to placate the evil spirits, they offered them a variety of treats, fruits and vegetables and other types of food. If these hordes were satisfied, they left you in peace. If they were not, they would trick you by casting a spell or wreaking havoc in your home. Thus, the tradition of trick or treat became somewhat common. Despite these sinister origins, I think we can still learn a whole lot about how the early Christians responded to this Samhain festival. As Christianity began to spread across Europe, many pagans, including the Druids, were converted to Christianity. But they were still very superstitious. I'm glad that was only them. They didn't have Bibles then, of course, and they couldn't have read them anyway. So they tended to bring their old superstitions with them along to their church services. So in direct response to this pagan tradition, the early church moved a festive celebration that was called All Saints' Day, which occurred in early May. They moved it from May to November 1st. Rather than teaching Christians to fear the onslaught of spirits, All Saints Day was celebrated and honored all the saints, all the martyrs who had died that year. It is a time in which Christians boldly proclaim the marvelous fact of the resurrection of Christ. And to that, I hope we hear an amen. The Mass that was held the evening prior to All Saints Day was called All Hallowmas. And October 31st itself became known as All Halloween, which we put together to make Halloween. Literally then, in the original beginning, Halloween means Holy Evening. So All Hallows Eve was an attempt on the part of Christianity to overwhelm this tradition of ghouls with the truth of the gospel. Now let's look at the biblical perspective of Halloween. Now if you go into a concordance and you look up the word Halloween, you're not going to find a scripture reference to it, to save you the time. But there is one passage in the scripture that is very relevant, I believe, and that's the one out of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote that I believe is the one that we can take with us. What Paul is urging us to do is accept into our group someone who is weak in faith and don't argue about opinions. One person believes it is right to eat all kinds of food. I like that guy. But another one, as Paul says, is weak, only wants to eat vegetables. The one who knows it's right to eat any kind of food must not reject the one who eats only vegetables. And the person who eats only vegetables must not think that the one who eats all food is wrong. Why? Because God has accepted us all. Some think that one day is more important than another day. And others think that every day is the same. Those who think that one day is more important than other days are doing that for the Lord. Those who eat all kinds of food, doing it for the Lord, and they give thanks to God. Others who refuse to eat some foods, Paul says they are doing that for the Lord, and to give thanks to God. We do not live or die for ourselves, as Paul says. If we live, we are living for the Lord. If we die, we are dying for the Lord. So living or dying, we belong to the Lord. And I believe John Wesley had a firm grasp on this concept. So I think Paul in this scripture is addressing some specific issues that are very relevant to Halloween. Meat that has been sacrificed to pagan gods and holidays. Now first, there were many Christians who had been brought into the faith, but they also brought their superstitious beliefs. Some had been converted over from paganism. Even though they accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, they still at times a little bit believed in the old gods of Roman and Greek mythology. And therefore, as new Christians, they refused to eat any meat that had been sacrificed to these gods because they saw it as a form of worshiping these old gods. Other Christians realized that gods such as Zeus or Hermes or Athena, they didn't exist. Therefore, they had no problem eating that meat because it was fairy tales anyway. Furthermore, there were some Christians who wanted to celebrate special days or holidays such as Passover or Hanukkah, while other Christians believed that every day was the same and there was no need to celebrate a holiday unless God particularly commanded us to do so. To all these Christians, here's what Paul tells us. Warmly welcome each other into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you. Then God will be glorified. Now, I think if we take these two examples and we put them together, we get a very clear biblical perspective on the controversy that some Christians have over Halloween. Halloween is indeed a holiday that was once dedicated to a pagan god. And there are people who understand that there is no such things as ghosts and goblins and have no problem with our modern celebration. Others believe that these dubious origins of Halloween make it something in which they should not be involved. And I believe today Paul would tell us exactly what he told the Romans. If it bothers your conscience, don't participate. On the other hand, you can celebrate Halloween and then do it in a way that honors and glorifies God, like the early Christians did. If it's okay and you can honor and glorify God, then do it. Because what Paul will tell us is whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. Don't forget that both Christmas and Easter have some of their origins in pagan festivals as well. That doesn't, however, prevent Christians from captivating their children of tales of Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, and that's perfectly fine. Halloween to me is no different. Just because it centers on some macabre creatures versus a furry woodland creature and a jolly fat man doesn't put it in another category for me, provided we know the difference between reality and fantasy, and we help communicate that, particularly to our children. As Christians, I think we have always been encouraged to use holidays as opportunities for outreach. And I would like to think that we can do the same thing on Halloween. Before the Reformation, some zealous fundraisers in the church greeted what was called a plenary indulgence to those who attended church service on All Saints or All Souls Day. I find it kind of interesting, actually. All Saints Day commemorates the faithful who have achieved heavenly status. And All Souls Day was a day to pray for the family members and the unsung saints of the world. And according to medieval theology, if you attended church on those 2 days, your presence automatically released one soul from purgatory. And of course, it didn't hurt that the church would charge a little bit of admission on those days for you to come in. And so eventually what happened is the church would end up with a revolving door of visitors on that day. It was the theological equivalent of buying a fistful of lottery tickets and instead of betting on one number. So people who had a lot of dead relatives would enter the church, pay the admission, offer the name of their deceased loved one, exit the church, and walk around and come back in the door again, theologically assuring that each time they reentered the church, they freed up another purgatory relative. As you can imagine, it was a well-attended holiday. You know, back then, people used to know their family tree as well as they knew their own hands. And there's many of us who may not know our family tree, or we may actually have a forest of known relatives. Some of us may actually have family thorn bushes, I don't know. But whether you have a well-shaped tree or an untamed bramble bush, every member of the body of Christ still participates in the communion of saints, because we all have common ancestors in the faith. I think we need to celebrate All Saints Day. In my opinion, the worst thing that as Christians we can do on Halloween is turn off the lights and lock the door and pretend no one is home. And Jesus said that his mission in coming to earth was to seek and save the lost. And I think that's now our mission as well. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So let's heed these words. Let's let our lights shine, both our spiritual lights and, in all honesty, our porch lights, on a day that was known for darkness. I think Halloween is a time of opportunity. So we need to seize the moment. It's not a time to curse the darkness. It's a time to light a candle. I think Halloween is an opportunity. And the trick is to treat it as God wants us to do. Have you ever carved a cross into your pumpkin? Halloween's not going away. So let's use it as a way to glorify God. And lastly this morning, I don't want us to forget that we need to celebrate the saints of our faith. The saints in our midst and in the distant past. Let us celebrate those brothers and sisters that still stand among us. Let us celebrate those who have gone before us. That is our family tree. That is our spiritual legacy from whence we have come. As Christians, we can celebrate with great joy because we have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Not on Halloween, not on any day. Because we have won the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over any evil, over any sin, over any death. We are claimed as children of God. The great joy that we possess from this is to be shared with the world. As we share this joy, we are to be the people whose lives reflect the joy of this relationship that we have. That we need to celebrate. That we need to honor. That truth is what we show to others. Celebrate this week and let your light shine. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Oh God of possibilities, mold us into people of possibility. And keep us ever mindful of your covenant, of your love and your grace. Wake us to watch and wait for your appearance and your guidance. Oh, Father, plant in us seeds of light that we may shine forth as treasures bright with your love. Let your Spirit rise within us that we may bring forth the kingdom and influence others to your hope and promise. Let us do that in all that we say and do. Amen.